are dreams just random images fired from an unconscious brain during sleep? Or something much more important, like life-saving inner guidance? How dreams can be healing and early warning tools for disease, financial crisis, or success? And love is still one of the behavioral science's greatest unanswered questions. Hello, I'm your host, author Kat O'Keefe Canavis. Welcome to Dreaming Healing, where dreams and cutting-edge scientific research meet on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. Dreaming Healing is every Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern, with live shows on the first and third evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, when you can call in and ask Kat questions about your amazing dreams. Talk on air. Call toll-free 833-220-1200. That's 833-220-1200. Come live your dreams out loud with Kat.
Good evening, everyone. I'm so glad you're here. This show is video. So if you're only listening and you want to watch the show, go to my website, The Queen of Dreams, or www.KathleenO'KeefeCannabis, and that's KathleenO'KeefeCannabis, O-S as in Sam, and in the top right-hand corner of my website, you'll see a little place where you can click, and it says Dreams Vision 7. It will take you to my website on Dream Vision 7, and you'll see a little YouTube, like a computer screen. Click on that, and you can watch the show, okay? Many of you may have seen me on my video podcast last hour on the Kat Canavis Show live on New Earth TV. If not, you can go to my Facebook page, Kathleen O'Keefe Canavis, author, speaker, or The Kat Canavis Show on Facebook, and watch it there. They're very short shows. So tonight's show is Dreams and Sex Queens. Yeah, you heard me right. Dreams and sex queens go together like peanut butter and jelly. And the sex queens, Aggie and Jules, are here to talk about it, including sex cults and also dealing with being shut in and some of the sexual things we have to deal with. Are we being controlled sexually by the people we are in the house with? So we're going to be talking about the psychology behind sex cults and the signs and the behaviors of a cult leader. And is it maybe happening in your relationship? And if it is, how do we get out? So, and how might our dreams save us? How might they be giving us red flags? But first, let's start the show with one of my favorite protection and clearing meditations. If you're new to my show, during this meditation, I want you to imagine using something small but powerful, maybe something given to you in a dream by your guardian angels or spirit guides or a deceased loved one, like an amulet. If you don't have one, just imagine your favorite flower in your hand or a crystal. I always imagine a dandelion because that was given to me in a dream by my spirit guides, you know, those monks. If you don't know the monks, make sure you get my book, Dreams That Could Save Your Life, Early Warning Signs of Cancer and Other Diseases. Yeah, the monks from my dreams are in that book. You can also use a piece of jewelry in your hand and hold it as your power gift. So now sit very comfortably, and together we'll take three deep breaths. We're going to hold them while anything that is not of our highest and best will go into that breath. And then we're going to blow it across the room into the purple flame of Saint Germain, where it's going to convert into beautiful golden light and be returned to the universe. That way we will not be polluting or littering. Then we're going to build this protection bubble around ourselves with our power gift. All right. If you're driving right now and just listening to the show, please don't close your eyes. It'll still work. Just listen, okay? All right, everybody else, close your eyes. Feel yourself just kind of relaxing and being centered. Take a deep breath in. Hold it. Imagine any tiny little specks of negativity attaching to that breath of life, and blow it out across the room into the purple flame of Saint Germain. Another breath in. Imagine any negativity that you heard, that somebody said to you, that you said to yourself, connecting to that breath of life. Blow it out across the room. One more time, deep breath in. Any little stubborn pieces of negativity connected to that breath, blow it out across the room into the purple flame of Saint Germain and see it turned into this beautiful, positive, golden light and return to the universe. Now, imagine holding your power gift in your hand, swing it all around your body and create this mirrored bubble of protection that only lets that which is of the highest and best and brought by our spirit guides into that bubble. Anything that else that is not of our highest and best is reflected back from whence it came. We wish it so, and therefore it is. When you're ready, slowly open your eyes. Until then, you can just listen to me. Sexy dreams are a part of our sleeping world that flow into our waking world. We already know that our dreaming world is a microcosm of our waking world. And since sex makes the world go round and our little hearts go pitter patter, it would stand to reason that sexy dreams and desires would be a healthy part of our dream life and our waking world. So our guest tonight are the Sex Queens podcasters. And they're here to talk openly and honestly and discuss about sex dreams and the sex topics, which, you know, hopefully will normalize more open discussions about sex, because really, sex is not taboo unless you make it taboo. It's healthy. It's as important as eating, because without sex, there'd be no us. And without food, there'd be no us. So let me tell you a little bit about the Sex Queens. The Sex Queen is a sex positive show podcast that explores different topics related to sex and sexuality. And our guests strive to have an open and an honest discussion about each topic, with the hope of normalizing more open discussions about sex. So let me tell you about Aggie. Aggie is, you know, and I should have had Aggie tell me her last name. It is Sven Kunis. I think that's right, but I'll ask her when she comes on. Sven Kunis. And she's half of the team and the co-creator and founder of the Sex Queens podcast. She has been practicing as a licensed therapist in Chicago for the past 5 years. And she has had an interest in sex and sexuality exploration since taking an introductory sexuality class in college. Through her studies of becoming a therapist, she felt like this topic was often not discussed, or it was glossed over very quickly, and that a lot of clients and therapists did the same thing with it. So, having always enjoyed learning and researching and exploring the topic, it gave her and her co-partner with the Sex Queens, Jules, the inspiration to start this podcast. So Jules Burgess is another Chicago native and the other co-host and creator of the Sex Queens podcast. She has a degree in psychology also and neuroscience and has practiced as a behavioral therapist for approximately 3 years after graduation. And she currently works for a marketing firm. Though her stories and her studies and conversations with peers, it became really evident that conversations around sexual health and sexual psychology were again avoided. And they both had a passion to bring this sexual conversation to the forefront. And they have with their Sex Queens podcast. Welcome to the show, Jules and Aggie. Jules, let's start with you.
Sure.
Tell us what made you decide to come up with the name and the idea of the sex queens?
So I'll start with, well, I guess they both kind of came into play at the same time. Not as official as you might think, but Aggie and I have been friends for, I want to say, about 5 years now. When we were both in school, we started working at a part-time job, and so we met each other there, and we both were huge psychology nerds, you know, students in psychology and all that. So we connected, became friends pretty quickly, and then about 2 years ago, we were just having some wine and hanging out, and you know, we always kind of talked about sex topics and sexual health topics and the psychology around that, and so that came up. And you know, I just mentioned I already have all the audio equipment and the means to make it happen, and so I just kind of almost half jokingly mentioned we should start a podcast or a talk show about this, and we should get these ideas out there because I'm sure that so many other people are thinking what we're thinking but maybe don't have an outlet to talk about it or even hear about it or learn about it. So that's where we were coming from, and it was one of those things where, again, we were just kind of hanging out in a casual setting, and then you know, I think that in the next day or two we texted each other and we're like, no, we should do this, we should execute it. So we came up with a plan, we threw some names around, and Sex Queens was the one we liked the most, and just kind of took it from there. I mean, we're pretty beginner still, we're learning, we've made some adjustments along the way, but overall, the response that we've gotten just from things like Twitter and our social media platforms of people that thank us for bringing these conversations to light and sharing their experiences has been truly rewarding. So it's been a really exciting experience, and I'm hopeful for what it's going to bring.
Well, you know, I was on your Sex Queens podcast, and I just said, you know, this is so much fun. I have got to have these guys on my show because you were so comfortable talking about sexuality, and my degree is in psychopathology. So I've always dealt with abnormal psychology, and I find that when people are uncomfortable with their sexuality, it shows in their life. The discomfort shows in their life, and they have a lot of underlying problems. So by bringing this out into the open, I think you guys are doing such a, you know, a great thing for the whole world. So Aggie, tell me, how did you get involved in the idea of agreeing to become part of the Sex Queen podcast?
Hi. Well, it's the same thing that Jewel said. It was just something that was kind of brought out spur of the moment, but it's something that I, like I said, through my whole, well, career and before the career, I thought that it was a very important topic, and it's something that I've always had interest in. So I was like, well, why not do it in this type of form and medium? Like, it's somewhere where we could casually share the information, but information that we actually research and are taking our time and actually making sure that we're spreading knowledgeable information to the best of our ability, but then still keeping it casual and keeping it being like, oh, it's just like you're hanging out with a few girlfriends, just like how we are, because we're enjoying ourselves by hanging out with one another while doing this, and then talking about a topic that we're both actually passionate about, which makes it more fun.
Yeah, I agree. So Jules, you know, why do you suppose sex is so taboo, and I talking about it is so taboo? Because I was born and raised in Europe. My dad was a Green Beret. So I was born in Frankfurt, and I stayed in Europe until I came back to the States to go to college. And sex is much more open in Europe, and not nearly as taboo as it is here in the United States. So why do you suppose that is?
Well, that's a pretty big question. I would say, to break it down, there's not necessarily one pinpoint origin of why sex is so taboo, especially in America. It can stem from a bunch of different influences, such as religion, just culture, media, tons of different things. So for example, I know that in Europe, if we're comparing the two, in movies, a lot of the time you'll see nudity just more often, and you'll see more graphic sexual scenes as opposed to in America. They might show two people getting into bed under the sheets, but they might show like, you know, a forearm here and there, but they won't really show exactly what they're doing. So there's the media is a big part of it, in my opinion. And then, you know, as I mentioned, there's religions, there's some religions that sexuality is part of the, like religious expression in that culture. And so there might be some areas of the world where if that predominant religion in that area is more open sexually, that just might kind of leak out into the culture, and therefore, you know, the art that people are producing and the things they're putting out in the media that way. So that can have a big impact. And, you know, in America, for example, a religion like Christianity is a very dominant religion in a lot of areas of the United States. So sometimes the idea of maybe like waiting for sex until marriage or not discussing sex and those kinds of influences can have a big impact. And there's also just the idea that, you know, sex is something that I would say it over years, it became something that, was just not really talked about. And I think because of these different influences, whether it's cultural from the media or religion, it trickled down into the school system. And then because it did that, we were not educating the young about sex. So it not only became this thing that maybe people didn't really want to talk about, but everyone knew about, it then trickled down into you have generations that aren't even educated about it. So it's not just that they don't want to talk about it, it's that they don't know about it. They don't know the different aspects of sexuality, what gender is as opposed to sex, and all these different kinds of things. So there's a bunch of different influences. That was kind of a long-worded answer. But I'd say that the main two are the portrayal in the media and the difference in cultures around the world.
I agree. So do you have anything to add to that, Aggie?
I was going to say that you're very spot on, and that I'm originally from Lithuania myself, and actually Jules has some Lithuanian in her background. So right now when we're talking, I was like, oh, I wonder if that's actually why we want to spread it a little bit more, or at least like myself, because I'm not originally from here. I've been here for a long time, and I went through like all the schooling here, but I wonder if that still has some kind of influence. And I think also one other component that I would add in there is that I think that in other countries it's just taken more as like a daily aspect of everyday life, or kind of a norm of that sex is part of life. I feel like that's more maybe prevalent in Europe and potentially in other countries. Here I feel like there's a little bit more of this like secrecy or almost like shame with it, like, oh, that happens, but don't talk about it. Like, keep that all to yourself. I feel like in other places, it's just kind of more like, yes, people are naked, people have genitals. That's just part of our upbringing. And like, you know, it's okay to question it, but it's also okay.
I think we lost Aggie for a second there. Aggie, for some reason, you went on to mute. I don't know what that noise was, but you're back. Okay, you're okay now, Aggie.
Yeah. Sorry,
what I wanted to mention was how when I was growing up in Europe, I was actually in Berlin for 4 years. I was in Berlin when the wall went up. And so you had the British sector, you had the French sector, you had the American sector, and you had the German sector. And we all had officers' clubs. There was the British club, the French club, the American club, and one thing that we had was this huge Olympic pool, and we all went and used the pool together. And it was amazing because the American children always had their bathing suits on, always had bathing suits on. But a lot of the other countries, their children, the same age as us, would swim in the pool naked. And I remember the first time I looked at my mom, I think I was in first grade, and I said, why don't they have their bathing suits on? And she said, well, they're in their countries, they don't wear bathing suits. And I said, and nobody cares? And she said, no, it's really only the Americans that care. And I remember thinking, I wonder why, because they were having a great time. The boys, the girls, nobody had bathing suits on except the Americans, whose bathing suits came up to their necks, down to their ankles, and down to their wrists. And so that was the first time I really realized that there are sexual norms within countries, and that the Americans were very, very what Victorian when it came to that compared to the other countries. And it wasn't unusual either for the women to go topless and sunbathe topless, and nobody thought anything of it, because when it was, everybody was doing it and it was in everybody's face, nobody even saw it anymore. So, you know, we have gone through this COVID-19, and a lot of us have been locked in our homes with spouses, with relationships. This time has been a time of the best of times, the worst of times, as far as sexuality goes, relationships. Some people are going to be stronger. Some people are going to be broken up as soon as they can get out of those apartments with whoever they've been with. I noticed on one of your podcasts when I was listening to them, you were talking about the signs of cult behavior, cult sexual behavior. And I think it's really important to touch on that in this show, because some of that behavior may have come out while we were all stuck in together, because sex can be used to control others. So as soon as we come back from our first break, don't go away. We'll be right back. You are listening to Dreaming Healing on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. And I'm your host, Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis, AKA Kat. We're going to be talking about cultism and sexuality. Don't go away.
Ever had a strange dream? Nautilus Award winner, Dreams That Can Save Your Life, Early Warning Signs of Cancer and Other Diseases, by Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis and Duke University radiologist Dr. Larry Burke, forward by Dr. Bernie Siegel, shares how people like you self-advocated in the face of adversity and won using dreams. Read life-saving dream stories validated by medical reports. Hear how dreams of dead loved ones saved lives. Use interpretations and journaling as roadmaps in your waking world for health, wealth, and love. Dreams That Can Save Your Life, Early Warning Signs of Cancer and Other Diseases. Buy the audio and book at KathleenO'KeefeCannabis.com in English and Italian worldwide, and through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other retailers.
Omega Institute, offering workshops, retreats, and online learning dedicated to awakening the best in the human spirit. For over 40 years, Omega has seen more than 1 million people come through its doors to grow, learn, and find a greater sense of purpose. With over 350 workshops to choose from, Omega offers something for everyone. Located in Rhinebeck, New York, just 90 miles north of New York City, Omega's natural environment and quiet pace allow for extraordinary experiences to unfold. Learn more at eomega.org or call 877-944-2002. Again, 877-944-2002.
What if dreams can diagnose your life? What if we can meet the love of our life in dreams? Join host Kat O'Keefe Cannabis, the number one internationally best-selling author of Dreams That Can Save Your Life, written with Duke University medical doctor Larry Burke. Dreaming Healing is where we'll explore dreams, research, and interpret dreams from you, the caller. Dreaming Healing shows can be heard every Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern, with live shows on the first and third evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Come live your dreams out loud with Kat.
What if your dog, cat, or horse could help you with your love life? What would they suggest? It's fun to think about and a wonderful way to conduct yourself. After all, animals know well how to love and invite us to love them unconditionally. That's a pretty great way to live life. Animals always communicate with our highest good as their central focus, even when sometimes we feel stymied or frustrated with their behavior. Visit laurarowleyhealer.com to book a workshop or private long-distance phone reading. Laura's readings and workshops help you find the part of you that's able to tune in and connect to your amazing animals. Laura Rowley believes we can all understand by listening differently. Book a workshop or private long-distance phone reading now by going to laurarowleyhealer.com. That's LAURARROWLEY healer.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back to Dreaming Healing on DreamVision7Radio.com. I'm your host, Kat Cannabis, Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis, a.k.a. the Queen of Dreams, if you want to look me up. And we are discussing dreams and with the Sex Queens, the Sex Queens podcasters. And that's Aggie and Jules. And just before the break, we were talking about how sometimes sex can be used as a weapon by some people, you know, especially people who are cult leaders, things like that. So let's start with you, Jules. What are some of the behaviors we might see in somebody who is using sexuality as a means to control someone? Because some of our audience watching the show tonight might be going, I'm just wondering if that's what's going on with me.
Yeah, that's a great question. And I like the way you phrased it, because I think the word cult in itself tends to have a negative connotation for many reasons. But a lot of the time, I think people will hear the word cult and they'll think, oh, I'm not in a cult, or I consider myself an intelligent person, I would never join a cult. But the thing is when you analyze the psychological reasons for why people find themselves in some type of cult or some type of controlled situation, it really doesn't have anything to do with your intelligence. And I think that's a common misconception that a lot of people think, whether it's hearing about a manipulative relationship or something like that. It's very hard for many people to internalize that, because it does, you know, require a certain level of vulnerability. But I think if you look at the different little almost like symptoms that can add up to a very dangerous situation, those are what are going to help more and more people realize that while they may not be in a, you know, full-on drinking Kool-Aid cult situation, they may be in an unhealthy relationship or something that could lead to something more serious. But in terms of the behaviors that would lead someone to be controlled sexually, typically in any kind of manipulative relationship, the person who's controlling, the controller rather, they will oftentimes use a multitude of different things to control, sex being one of them. Financial is a big one for a lot of people. Social is another big one, social isolation. But sexually, they can definitely use that to control the partner. And I'd say some of the things to look for would be body language and competitive nature, and just the verbal language that they're using as well. So for sexuality, for example, sexual situations, consent is always an issue. And for a lot of these controlling situations, the controller will make you think that you're consenting, but in reality, you never really said yes or no. They didn't really give you an opportunity to say what you wanted to do or say whether you like what's happening. But then at the end of it, if you try and bring it up, they might say something like, well, you never said anything, so clearly you liked it. So it's this kind of manipulative language paired with this lack of gaining consent that can easily snowball into something that can be really unhealthy and really damaging on your psyche and self-esteem. So that's a big one, I'd say, for those kinds of relationships.
No, those were very good. And, you know, it's amazing. I think that what you were talking about there at the end is kind of like turning the tables on you. When you question it, the tables get turned on you and you feel exactly. Guilty for having questioned something, which you should never feel guilty for questioning anything. And I personally believe that when somebody tries to make you feel guilty for questioning it, it's because they have something to hide. So for those of you watching, poor Aggie was having trouble getting onto the computer because so many companies and people in companies are working from home that the internet is all messed up. So she got on with her cell phone. And so if you suddenly see her hand come up to adjust it, it's because her phone is moving around. But we're just so happy to have her. We don't care. But for those of you going, what is she doing? That's what it is. She's adjusting her cell phone. So Aggie, do you have anything to add to that?
Yes, thank you for letting them know what's happening. I wasn't planning to use this, but it's okay. There's a lot of technology, so we can adjust. It's better that I'm here than not here. Yes. I was going to say, adding to the other topic, though, and a little bit of something else in addition, just based from practice, too. But one of those things, definitely, as Jewel pointed out, is like in relationships 101 and could be happening a lot right now, is like gaslighting. Like basically that whole concept is gaslighting, is when somebody's turning it around and making you question your own sanity, but it's based out of like their own terms. So that's something that could be happening to a lot of couples right now. Or if you're looking for one of those warning signs, if you're in a relationship and feeling like something is off, that's always a really big thing to look for. It would be like, oh, you know that you put the milk away, something like that. But then the person's like, no, you didn't. And it makes you question it to where you're like doubting yourself and then feeling uncertain about every situation. That's definitely a really big component of anybody that would be doing that type of like either sex cult or just in general manipulation type of thing. Gaslighting is definitely one of those number one warning signs to look out for.
And what is it called?
Gaslighting.
How do you spell that?
Lighting. So that's what it is. It's like flipping your reality on you and making you question your reality. That's definitely
yes.
a big.
Is it gaslighting? Okay.
Gaslighting, like GAS and then lighting. It actually comes from the principles of, it's talked about in more detail in Gottman's theory, which is like marriage and family principles. And that's one of the big ones for sure. When like a relationship is taking a turn, is to look out for that. Like for somebody kind of making you question your own sanity or you having a lot of doubts of yourself when you normally wouldn't, and about situations that might not warrant it. And it can go from like small things to big things. It usually starts small and then grows bigger, such as like, you know, being like, oh, you probably shouldn't talk to that family member for whatever reason, or like your friends don't really like you. And then the person starts to question it themselves, like talking about that isolation piece, like questioning your support network, questioning if what you're thinking is really true, and then eventually kind of only believing that person and their perception. And then that's usually what switches it over to that, like, I'll believe anything that this person says type of mindset.
You start believing that person because you're questioning yourself so much, you think you can't make the right decision. Interesting. I find that very interesting. So, and you know, it sometimes you don't, you know, I call relationships go through periods, and during the honeymoon period at the beginning of the relationship, everything's so beautiful that you don't see these small things starting to sneak in, as it were. Or you can possibly get away from that person and find a way to terminate that relationship if you needed to, or get help from your friends or your support group. But with what's happened with us being locked in, we don't always have that anymore. We don't have that support group. We don't have people that we can bounce that off of because we're being watched all the time. Some of us are in very tiny little apartments. Our every move is watched. So Jules, what can we do to change our, what can we do? What behavior can we do to mitigate this, to change it, or to shift it? Is there anything we can do?
So I'm really glad you brought that up, because I think what is happening right now in this isolation is a huge surge, unfortunately, in a lot of domestic violence cases that are being reported. And across the US, I can't speak for the world, but I know that across the US there's been a very big spike in domestic violence cases, because a lot of the time you might get an escape from your abuser if you go to work, or just like you said, distance, getting out of the house for whatever reason, even if it's a grocery store or getting coffee with a friend. But you know, now that we're locked in our houses, that can be really tough for a lot of people in that situation. So I mean, your options are obviously a little bit more limited, but we are able to still go outside in a lot of states. And I think that if you're in any kind of immediate physical danger, the best thing you can do in that situation right at that moment is get immediate distance between you and the abuser. This would be good also if there was like psychological manipulation, because obviously like distance gives you time to think and breathe and not have all these third parties affecting your thoughts. But especially in the physical sense, the best thing you can do is to get immediate distance, even if it's putting objects in the way, going in a different room and locking yourself in there. If you live in an apartment building, leaving the apartment, you know, if you have a doorman, whatever it is, just getting some kind of distance will be the best thing to do. And if you have access to a phone, there are a lot of hotlines that are available, like the domestic abuse hotline, that's available 24/7, and you can call or text, you can email. But I mean, it is a tough time for a lot of people in that situation, just because we're locked inside and there are limited resources, unfortunately. But I would say that if you're in that situation, it's so important for you to communicate with someone if you are able to. Even if it's a hotline, even if it's 911, whatever it is, if you can't call a friend, or because I know a lot of them are involved like social isolation too. So whomever you can reach out to, if you feel you are in danger, especially if you reach out to the authorities, they will give you a resource to work with. And I think a lot of the time people in these situations think that they're alone and think that, oh, well, all my friends have left me, or this, that, and the other. That's really common, but there are people you can reach out to. There are hotlines available. And again, if you can't get to a phone and you feel like you're in danger, just try to get as much distance between you and your abuser as possible. We're going to get through this tough time, and it's not going to be easy, but I would say that would be the best advice from me.
Mm-hmm. Aggie, do you have anything to add to that?
I agree with what Jewel said. I'd also just say this focus on like safety, because no matter what, these cases are surging right now. Like, that's just reality, because again, a lot of people are stuck with their abuser. And I think just really keeping in mind that there are still resources out there. I think during this time, there's a lot of, sometimes like people have this assumption, or they can't help it, thinking that like, oh, there's nothing available right now. Like, why even bother? There's nothing that's gonna help type of mindset, which makes sense because everyone feels so isolated. But like keeping in mind that yes, there are still resources out there, and they are working on getting people out of the situations, and there's still shelters that are being run, and people that are there, you know, in the hotlines and counselors and law enforcement, they're all still out there. They're doing their jobs. So if you are reaching out, like, don't think that you're not gonna be heard. Someone is going to hear you. So go ahead and reach out. Don't think that it's not worth it. I think that that's a really important piece to remember, because all these hotlines are still out there for sure. I've seen things on Twitter, like from across the world, where there's like different websites or different people saying like, oh, if you need anything, just reach out to me. If you happen to have your computer and you can still reach out to people like that, they're like, you could even use like an email or a fake reason. Like, I saw this one thing on Twitter from this girl the other day. She's like, I'm in support of fighting domestic violence. And she makes it seem like she sells makeup. And if anybody writes her about an eyeliner or a mascara, then that means that they like need help, or things like that. I've seen that multiple places, or like where it's like, oh, if you're calling and ordering pizza from somewhere, if you're calling a specific number, it's like a code for the fact that you actually need help. So there's definitely things out there. If you're able to access any of it, do it. And then don't ever hesitate to call 911, because that's still number one priority in terms of safety.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's all great advice. And you know, in psychology 101, one of the first things I learned is, if you want to change somebody else's behavior, you have to change yours first. Because when you respond differently to them than you've responded all the other times, they must re-respond to you differently. So sometimes the first thing that you can do is change your behavior safely. Don't antagonize them. But sometimes just a weird answer to something will give them pause enough to set them on a different track where you're breaking their thought pattern. So that's one of the things that you can do immediately is change your reaction to something the way you normally react, just react differently. And another thing is our dreams. Our dreams are a microcosm of our waking world. And so a lot of times when we think that we're so alone and nobody else is there to help us, our deceased loved ones will come into our dreams through visitation dreams, and they'll give us advice, they'll give us guidance, and they'll let us know that we're not alone, that they're with us. And that way we know that we have help from another dimension, and that can be so important. And also it gives us, it when we're inside, I think, with different people in our families and in our relationships, it gives us a chance to sit back and really look at those relationships. And sometimes we can work through the challenges we're having in our dreams. It's dream work, because there are no taboos and there is never anything wrong in dreams. You can do anything. You can throw somebody off a mountain in a dream and there are no repercussions. You can do anything you want and it's all okay. So in a way, our dreams during this time where we're locked up with people that might be abusive or not, our dreams can help us see red flags, and they can also help us see the sunlight. So, you know, don't go away. We're going to be right back. You are listening to Dreaming Healing on DreamVision7Radio.com. And I'm your host, Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis, a.k.a. Kat, the Queen of Dreams.
What if dreams can diagnose your life? What if we can meet the love of our life in dreams? Join host Kat O'Keefe Cannabis, the number one internationally best-selling author of Dreams That Can Save Your Life, written with Duke University medical doctor Larry Burke. Dreaming Healing is where we'll explore dreams, research, and interpret dreams from you, the caller. Dreaming Healing shows can be heard every Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern, with live shows on the first and third evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Come live your dreams out loud with Kat.
Ever had a strange dream? Nautilus Award winner, Dreams That Can Save Your Life, Early Warning Signs of Cancer and Other Diseases, by Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis and Duke University radiologist Dr. Larry Burke, forward by Dr. Bernie Siegel, shares how people like you self-advocated in the face of adversity and won using dreams. Read life-saving dream stories validated by medical reports. Hear how dreams of dead loved ones saved lives. Use interpretations and journaling as roadmaps in your waking world for health, wealth, and love. Dreams That Can Save Your Life, Early Warning Signs of Cancer and Other Diseases. Buy the audio and book at KathleenO'KeefeCannabis.com in English and Italian worldwide and through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other retailers.
Have you met your physician within yet? The Nautilus and multi-award-winning book, Surviving Cancerland, Intuitive Aspects of Healing, is a memoir that takes you down the rabbit hole of healing dreams and interpretations, mixed with conventional medicine and treatments. Listen to the hookah-puffing caterpillar ask, "Who are you?" Dr. Bernie Siegel says Kathleen's story is powerful, honest, and eye-opening. Surviving Cancerland, Intuitive Aspects of Healing by three-time breast cancer survivor Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis. Buy the book and audio at KathleenO'KeefeCannabis.com and worldwide through Amazon and other retailers. Darkest hours to brightest moments, transformation from despair to happiness, and chaos to clarity. Real people, real pain, real healing. Life-threatening illness, death, abusive relationships, divorce, and overcoming addiction are challenges these men and women faced head-on. See how they emerged stronger and happier. Buy the new book, Chaos to Clarity, Sacred Stories of Transformational Change by Reverend Patricia Caginello and Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis. Available on sacredstoriespublishing.com and worldwide through Amazon and other retailers.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back, everyone, to Dreaming Healing on DreamVision7.com. I'm your host and video podcaster, Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis, aka Kat, and the Queen of Dreams. Our guests tonight are Aggie and Jules, and they are the Sex Queen podcasters. And we're talking about sex, sexuality, and what's going on right now with everybody kind of being shut up in their homes. What things to look for if maybe you're being controlled sexually, and how to get yourself out of that situation. So, Jules, how can we find you?
Well, you can find me on social media. So we are on Twitter and Instagram. Our handle is Sex Queens Pod. That's S-E-X. Q-U-E-E-N-S-P-O-D, Sex Queens Pod. Again, that's our handle on both Twitter and Instagram, so you can send us a tweet or a DM or whatever the kids are calling it nowadays. And then if you're feeling a little bit more old-fashioned, you can feel free to email us, sexqueenspod@gmail.com. So again, sexqueenspod@gmail.com. So I think that would be the best way to get in contact. We're always looking for ideas for new shows and topics, questions you may have that we'll answer on our show, and all that sorts of stuff, all the updates and all that. We're streaming on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, Spotify, anywhere you can listen to your favorite podcasts.
So Aggie, do you have anything to add to that? Is there another place that we can find you? And I found you guys on Twitter. Remember, we were direct messaging each other back and forth, and I came onto your show and then invited you on mine, and it's been great fun. So Aggie, do you want to add anything to that on finding you guys or listening to your show? What nights are your shows on and what time?
So yes, everything that she said with Twitter and our Sex Queens handle, finding us everywhere there. And then we typically release on Wednesdays, not necessarily a specific time, but we usually do release our shows on Wednesday, middle of the week, timeframe. And sometimes we add in a few extra bonus, episodes here and there, depending on what we're doing. Like we started this, we call this like a discussion corner that you came on. As a new thing where we outreach other people and find out what they're doing, and we love that. So definitely want to do more of that. So any ideas or anything like that, reach out to us, because we're always open to learning. That is really, I would say, the original reason why we started it anyway, is just to get a conversation going and get as many opinions and expertise and just knowledge and just stories as we can, because that's the only way to spread it, is to talk to people. So that's definitely been the goals.
Great. So, Jules, if you had to leave our audience with one thought about the Sex Queens podcast or even sexuality and everything that's going on right now, what might it be?
Well, in terms of sex and sexuality, I would say that if you have a thought around sex and sexuality and you feel any kind of shame, first of all, don't. But also, chances are there are a bunch of other people that have that same thought. You just have to find them. There's a place for everyone. We have come across anything you can think of. There is a group of people out there that will support you and you can connect with. So that's one. Two, I would say now, because we're in this isolation, it's a tough time for people. Especially just in terms of mental health, you know, depression and anxiety and all these neurotransmitters that are being fired in your brain that might put yourself in a little bit of an imbalance emotionally than what you normally are in your routine. Just take that and understand that that will likely have an effect on your libido or your sexual desires or your sex life. And it hopefully will be temporary. Again, this isolation, you know, will be lifted sometime. So it's a tough time now, but just know that you have a community of people and try and stay supportive as much as you can.
And what about you, Aggie? Do you have anything to add to that? What would you like to leave our listeners with tonight?
Yes, I would say the same thing. Really big focus on self-care right now, just in general, both sexually and just as humans, because we need it right now. So checking in with others in whatever way is comfortable for the person. also, I would say really not pushing yourself towards anything. Like, don't set high expectations for yourself based on this idea that, like, oh, what do I do with this time? Do with this time whatever feels best for you. But remembering to do it in a place of, like, self-care and self-love. And when it comes to sexuality, I mean, we've been talking about this on the show a bunch, and I think we keep running across it. It's a time to really do whatever you want with it. Like, you could reflect. It's also a good time to spend more time with yourself sexually. Like, there's more time. So if you're comfortable, it's a good time to masturbate, explore, you know, figure out what works for you. And that could be with yourself or with your partner, because everybody's kind of in different situations. So some people are isolated, some people are with their partner. And, you know, and if you're with your partner, it might be a good way to spend some time to explore yourself sexually in potentially a different way. Like, you know, those things where you're like, oh, I don't have time for that. Now there is. So I tell people, like, you know, explore it, be creative, have some time with it to have some sexual energy outlet. And then also maybe even just in mindfulness terms, like, think about what it means to you and what kind of things you want to explore in sexuality, because right now we definitely have more time to focus on ourselves in general. So I say run with that and find something enjoyable about it. Think about pleasure for yourself, whatever that means.
Yes. Well, I want to thank you both, Jules and Aggie, for being on the show with us tonight. This was such fun. We've got to do this again and talk about sexuality, because I think it's something that needs to be brought out in the open, because I've always believed if sex was supposed to be something we didn't talk about, kept in the closet, more ashamed of, it would never feel that good. It just wouldn't. So it's meant to be celebrated, not hidden. Thank you both so much for being on the show with us tonight. So we've come to the end of our show, and I want to thank you all for making Dreaming Healing such a great success. If you don't want to share your dreams live in the call-in, you can email them to me from my website, The Queen of Dreams, or KathleenO'KeefeCannabis.com, and that's KathleenO'KeefeCannabis. KANABOS.com. And I'll read them on the show with you only using your first name for privacy. And for our new listeners, there is a free gift for you in the upper right-hand corner of my website. You know, that upper right-hand corner has got all kinds of goodies in it. And there's also a promotional package there for you published authors who need a little extra help getting your information out there. If you're a writer who would love to be in the second Sacred Stories of Transformation book series, Crappy to Happy. Yeah, we're having a lot of crappy to happy right now, so that book is filling up real quick, in which I am collaborating with Sacred Stories Publishing, a conventional publisher, and Dennis Patoko, CEO of Biz Catalyst 360 Magazine, and Gina Mazza of Creative One Marketing and Advertising Public Relations. You just go to, again, my website, right upper hand corner, and click on Get Published. And I have a big announcement to make to everybody. James Redfield, who is the author of Celestine Prophecies, is writing the foreword for the book. You may have seen him a couple weeks ago on my show, and he's going to be coming back to do a part two, because there was so much information, we just couldn't get it into one show. So this show is going to be blogged on Patheos, which is a huge spirituality religious blog. It should be really interesting. And it's called Above and Beyond the Five Senses. And it's going to be made into an article for my syndicated column on Biz Catalyst 360 Magazine, Living Your Dreams, posted on my Facebook professional page, Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis, author, speaker, dream expert, and Dreams That Can Save Your Life Facebook page. And of course, the magazines for which I write, all accessible from my website. And for those of you in the Palm Springs area watching, watch for my articles on dreams in the May, June 2020 edition of Desert Health, the Valley's leading resource for health and wellness. And it's going to be available online and in all the stores everywhere as soon as they open. again, which we're all looking forward to. So until next time, remember, everybody dreams, but some dreams save lives. So good night, everybody. Sweet dreams. And thank you again, Jules and Aggie.
Thank you for joining us this evening, and a big thanks to our producer. Tune in next time to Dreaming Healing for more cutting-edge research, live dream interpretations, and stories with radio host and award-winning author Cat O'Keefe Canavas. Listen every Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Time with call-in live shows on the first and third evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Remember, everyone dreams, but some dreams save lives. Live your dreams. Find more about Kat at KathleenO'KeefeCannabis.com. That's Kathleen with a K. O-K-E-E-F-E-K-A-N-A-V-O-S. Or the Queen of Dreams on Google search.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.